Tonight, I want us to look at Scripture, focusing on the question, is Jesus the only God? And as I said this morning, it really bothered me in seeing some of the stuff that focus with Billy Graham and all of the how he said something. And I even listened to his own clip of what he said, which is exactly what I believe, and I've been preaching for 40 years. But as we're looking at it, is Jesus the only God? I will tell you, yes, Jesus is the only God. But what we do too often, and that is that we limit the power of God to our thinking. This is all that, you know, here's how I understand. Well, have you noticed that not everybody understands the same thing the same way? Have we noticed that God says, I am not man that I could sin? And then says, look, I'm in charge. I'm the one that's in control. And I will share my love to whosoever will. So let's look at something. No one is more loved and hated than Jesus Christ. The name Jesus is derived from the Old Testament, Joshua. Joshua or Yahshua is Yahweh. God is salvation. Okay. In Greek, instead of Yahshua, it is Christ. He is Christ in the Greek. Joshua and Christ and one who is chosen and anointed by God to be the Messiah, that was in the Hebrew, who delivers God's people. Now, once again, what happened? God is expressing his love to us. God is sending his only begotten Son. So the Jewish nation at this time, the Hebrew nation, they were trying to limit who Jesus was going to share the gospel with. They got in trouble with Jesus simply because they said, no, salvation is of the Jewish faith, and we will not take the message to the Gentiles. Remember, anyone who is not a Jew is considered a Gentile. And the Lord said, I'm telling you, this is what I'm going to do. What was the problem? God runs in like he does with us right now. He sees where we limit him and that we argue with him as to, I don't want to be around those kind of people. I don't want to teach this or I don't want to teach that. Now, either you're going to teach God's word and you're going to teach it his way, or you're just going to be teaching your own word and you're going to be teaching it your own way. And if we get into that, what is going to happen is exactly what you're seeing in America today. You see, the Lord says, I love. And God says he did not put a limit on his love. And he says, I love so much, whosoever will, let them come. Now, he also said, I am the one that can judge the heart. I see the truth in the heart of man. And when he said, be careful because judgment has already begun at the house of God. Already begun at the house of God. Did we not see that? And when Jesus went into the temple, did we not see and witness through his word of how judgment had already begun? Throwing out those who were phony, throwing out those who were focused on making money by cheating the pilgrims that were coming, wanting to hear a word from God. Now, God said he's sending the deliverer. Been multitudes of deliverers since time. Many were classified as the Messiah, meaning a deliverer for that period of time. Jesus, folks, is the Son of God. He is God, God incarnate. That is the testimony not only of those who listen to him, but of he himself, and which we'll get into in a moment. But listen to this part. Opinions about Jesus are numerous. You'll go along with that one, won't you? But most all religions, including liberal Christian religions, I've told you all that, every time I look for different groups and different faiths and different ones, even that profess Christianity, I'm amazed. We got a group springing up about every week. You know, we got people that said, no, okay, we are of this type of Christian. Folks, Christ is not separated. Christ is one. Okay, but how do we know then that we are worshiping correctly if you're talking about all the multiplicity of personalities? You and I, as Christians, we understand that we have a personal relationship with Jesus. Folks, nobody has to prove to me that Jesus, or try to disprove that he exists. He exists in me, he exists in my heart, whether another human being believes that or not. He does. So you and I have a personal relationship. And he personally committed himself to us throughout eternity. From the time I said yes to Jesus and before. Now let me explain that one. Jesus knows the heart of man. Jesus knows the very heart of his creation. So therefore, Jesus, when he would come on the scene, what did he do? He read the hearts. He read into the heartbeat of those that were in front of him and would make such statements. I have not seen faith like that. No, not in all Israel. And Jesus, being God, folks, was able to, as he looked, start saying, some of them, you're a fox. And he's saying, you slither like a snake, you know, going, all that. And people said, well, you know, that's not very Christian, Jesus, talking to these people that way. Not only that, he didn't act right going in God's temple either. He just went in there, kicked over tables and took out a whip and just went wild on those poor, innocent scoundrels, thieves. They were selling lame animals, animals with flaws. When they were exchanging money, they cheated the ones and the money exchanging. And the Lord said, you have made my Father's house, God's house, a den of thieves. Now, opinions about him are being as numerous, but most all religions, including the liberal Christian religion, say that Jesus is not God. Okay, I've got some for you here. Liberal Christians, that Jesus is merely a good man. Now, okay, where does that break down on liberal Christians? I have the slightest idea. You know, until I started doing the background on all of this, I didn't know there was a difference. But there is a whole group of liberal Christians, and Jesus is not God. He's a good man. How can I be Christian if I don't say that Jesus is who he says he is?
I was going to say, why do they call themselves Christians?
If you can't, yes, if you don't accept him at his word. But not only do we not just accept him at his word, we, folks, those who become Christians, accept him because of his presence in us. We know he's real. Well, show God to me. Well, you're going to see God soon enough. I wouldn't play with those type of requests. But I cannot show to the world the love of Christ if I do not express the love of Christ through my human existence. That's the only, they can't see Jesus in me. That's why they say we're nuts, Christians. You know, we just have lost our mind. We are, you know, not only paranoid, schizophrenic, I mean, we are just so far out of there. You Christians really think that you are serving a deity. Why, you even act like that you can talk to that deity and that deity will answer you. Well, you Christians are out of it. Yeah, I'm so thankful that we're nuts. Okay, the next one's Jehovah's Witnesses. They say that Jesus is merely an archangel who became a man. When you believe that an individual can become a man, human, you know, angel can become a man, but you have trouble with God becoming man. All right. Mormonism's the next. Jesus was one of many gods, the half-brother to Lucifer. I didn't read that book. But that is the teaching, the half-brother to Lucifer. And you will always hear the angels. The angels were watching me. The angels were watching me. The good angels and the bad angels. You will hear this. Listen, folks. When it comes to the Christian walking in Christ, the angels are assigned to watch after us in their human condition. They're assigned to do that. But we don't walk in the power of the angels. We walk in the power of Christ, the living God. The living God, who is creator of all, people say, cannot live as a human being. If Jesus was not a human being feeling the pain and the temptations as all others, how then could I believe that he took my sins, personal sins, to the cross, and that he suffered in expressing from his own mouth the hurt and even to the point of I thirst? Let me stop there for a second, because there's something I want you to think about. Because that seems to be a statement from the cross that everybody looks back and forth about. Why did he say, I thirst? And they stuck a sponge up with the sour vinegar. You remember that? But I thirst. And we get so shallow in that sometime. Let us stretch our minds together. Could Jesus not have been talking about I thirst for the relationship with my Father? Do we not understand that at that point, one point on the cross, it's when Jesus was crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Do we not know that the thirst for the Word of God and the presence of God, even God as His Son, revealed to us, this is what a human being is thirsty for, whether you know it or not? You remember going out, you're working, some of us used to really work, and we'd go out, and we'd work real hard, and we would say, I'm thirsty. Well, what are you thirsty for? I don't know. My body is thirsty. Well, what do you want to drink? Well, I don't know. And of course, if it's like your pastor, I would say, well, fine. Sit there until you pass out from thirst, and then tell me what you want, and I'll get it for you. So think of it this way. The world itself is thirsty. Jesus preached his message, the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection, from the time he stepped foot as a human being on planet Earth. That was the message. And his message was to tell us, I'm here. The Savior of the world is here. Now, all you Hebrews out there, I want you to listen. The Jewish nation that I have taken under my wing, I want you to hear well. I have come. Salvation is already among you. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the way. I am the salvation, because I am is here. Therefore, whosoever will, come on in. Jesus did not exclude anyone. Whoever you are, you want eternal life, you want to find that what you're thirsty for, I will come in and I'll bring supper for both of us. I'll bring the best drink you've ever had. And I'll do it because I love you. And if I love you that much, should you not love one another? And if I am concerned about you, should you not be that concerned about your brethren, your sisterin, all those who are seeking? In order for any generation to get the fullness of Christ, they have to realize they're thirsty for the truth. children today, we see them going to and fro. They don't know what's wrong. You know, what's mom and dad talking about that we've never seen this in America before? What's mom and dad talking about? I don't understand. And yet now, they will be understanding. You see, what is going on has nothing to do with the lack of the love of God. It has to do with the Christ who is God and who came in a human form as God's Son, 100% human, 100% God. He said, I know sin has taken over, but I'm here. Therefore, sin has lost its power. Therefore, whosoever will, you can come under my wings. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I wanted so many times to tuck you under my wings, just like a mother hen does the chicks. But you would not. You would not accept my truth. Wonder why? Because they could not control him. They had no authority over him. And when he spoke, no one had ever spoken like him before. And he frightened hell. He still does. You know, Satan and his angels and all the evils, they're smarter than the human race because they're smart enough to be afraid. They know better than to get in the path of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They know that they are only limited in the power or scope to where they can attack one of God's children. And all the Lord said, now look, when I indwell you, when we are together, I will tell you what you need to say. I'll give you direction at the time, but you're mine and ain't nobody going to take you out of my hands. Now that's love. But no, he was not an angel. The Unitarian Universalism. They say that Jesus was a man of love, justice, and healing. Yes, he was. But he was also more than that. He was a man of love, justice, and healing because he was the author of love, justice, and healing. The society will receive justice. But we will receive justice at the hand of God, not at the hand of man. When we stand before our Lord, or remember this one, if you were put on trial today as a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And we must look at that in our day. Would there be that evidence? Who's the evidence? The evidence is who indwells us. Okay. Buddhism. That Jesus is an enlightened man like Buddha. You know, in any of the graphics of Christ, I don't ever remember, and nobody knows exactly what he looked like, but I cannot picture him having the belly the Buddha had on him. But enlightened man. Jesus came to enlighten mankind. And the last is Islam. Islam teaches that Jesus is a man and a prophet inferior to Muhammad. Now, therefore, when you have a religion that has to go out and fight battles and wars for the God they worship, be careful. Folks, you and I, and if you'll read the scripture, every battle that the Jewish nation, that the Hebrews were ever involved with, God did the fighting. They got there. What got them in trouble? Why did they start getting killed? They started getting cocky. Started getting cocky with power. Nobody can beat us, and they forgot or just didn't want to remember the reasons they were able to win those battles was because God was in charge. And they allowed His Spirit to be placed before them. But the human race continues to get cocky. Wise, unwise thing to do. Here's 12 amazing claims that Jesus made showing that He is the only God. Now, here's the problem. If individuals don't believe the Bible, don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God, then they are not going to believe anything that's written in that Bible. So you and I, it's not a part of saying, look, here it is. You see that? It's in red. And a person that has never read Scripture has no idea what you're talking about. That's when they start backing off. We're saying, thus saith the Lord thy God. They don't even know Jesus yet. They do not understand God's Word yet. Why? They must be under conviction by the Holy Spirit. Once they come under conviction by the Holy Spirit, then, like all the rest of us, then they say, I want to hear more. I want to know more about my Savior. Claim one said that He came down from heaven. John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. John 6:58. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna, but will live forever. That's just one of the scriptures where they say that Christianity was a cannibalistic religion. Because Christ is the one who said, if you will not eat of my body and drink of my blood, you can have no part of me. And why didn't they understand it? They could not. You cannot understand it unless the Holy Spirit is directing you in the reading. Don't just sit down to read Scripture so that you can say at the end of the year, I went through the whole Bible this year. No, you read Scripture through the power of the Holy Spirit. Get the Word of God delivered to you through His Word. If you have a problem, let's say you have an in-depth problem, you don't want to share it with your best friend. You don't want to share it with the closest one that you love, because you'll feel that everybody will think that you're crazy or the worst person in the world. Now, all of us have that in our life. We ain't telling. We're not going back there. But Christ said, talk to me about it. So we take it to the Lord. We take it to the Lord in prayer, and God answers us, folks, through love. Claim number two. Back on that. Do you remember any other prophet ever saying that they came down from heaven? But think of it this way also. All the other prophets and those who follow them confess that those prophets are dead, that they died. This is, this prophet died. Well, our prophet, the Son of God, died also, but He only died. He would not allow man to take His life. He gave up His life freely. He was thirsty to be back in the presence of His Father. He come down from His Father. This was no vacation for Him. This was the ultimate reason God created all things to begin with, so that He could make certain that all of us were saved. This thing about crucifying Jesus is not something they surprised God with. They didn't surprise Jesus with it. But He showed every one of us the aching and the pain inside of Him as a human being wanting to do what is right. But He had the reflexes of the human existence. And He was eager to go back home. But He did say, I'm going back home. But when everything's said for you, I'm coming back to get you. You got to remember that one. Mark 10, 17, 19. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, I preached on the last part of this one, but why do you call me good, Jesus says. No one is good except God alone. Therefore, Jesus said then, you could only call God good. He did not say, I'm not good. He says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. That's why I remember that sermon I did. Yeah, like you all are going to remember. The sermon I did where he said to them, you know, you have to recognize that I am God to say that to me. And remember, the next verses said, and Jesus loved him so much. But he wasn't willing to follow him. You know, I hope later than we didn't get to writing on that, that that good young man saw the light somewhere down the road. Okay, claim number three. Jesus said that he was the Son of Man. Now listen to Daniel 7, 13 through 14. In my vision that night, I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Now, in Daniel's prophecy, listen to what Jesus said, Mark 13, 26. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. What Jesus tried to do with all of these folks was say, look, you know, they saying, how does he know the Old Testament? Well, if you recognize that he's the author of all the Word, but they would not recognize him that way. But he said, well, Daniel told you this, and you all aren't even talking about it, he says, but this is going to happen. So there, in that statement, he was declaring he is the fulfillment of the prophecy Daniel was telling all these religious leaders who refused to listen. Claim number four, Jesus performed miracles. John 10, 36, 39. What about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's Son? Do not believe me then unless I do what my Father does. But if I do it, even though you do not believe me, then believe the miracles, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Again, they tried to seize him. They wanted to kill him from the minute he opened his mouth, but he escaped their grasp. Nobody is going to grab the Son of God. No one is going to be able to get his love out of our heart. Not even us. See, the love of God is everlasting. And the family of God is everlasting. We're family here and we'll be family in heaven. We are part, each individual, a part of the family of God. That'd be a good song one day, Brother Randy. Write that one down. Claim number five. Jesus said that he was God. Okay. Mark 14, 61, last part, and 62. Again, the high priest asked him. Now, this is Mark. On the other one, it was in Matthew. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the..." Old English would say, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the living God?" Jesus' answer was, "I am," said Jesus. "And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Once again, he said, "Look at what your prophets told you." John 8:58. "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." See, they were saying, "But how can you say that you knew Abraham, our father? How can you say that you can relate to Abraham when Abraham was born, 3,000, 4,000 years earlier?" "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." Now, we as Christians understand his statements on the I am. Remember that with Moses. Tell him, "I am sent you." The great I am is not separated. The God of the living remains the God of the living. Okay, John 10:30-33. Jesus says, "I and the Father are one." Now, you got to picture these religious zealots there, basing on religion. "I and the Father are one." Boy, I bet they was pulling what little hair they had left out. Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. Have you noticed when someone tries to tell the truth or someone says it with love, then it is that someone is taken advantage of? It is the one that will help you the most is the one you turn on so much. Think of that one. "Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them..." Now listen, Jesus used, I can't say everything in his power because his power is unlimited, but Jesus wanted to use every situation to let them know how much he loved them and that he and the Father are one, and that he came down by command of the Father, and they knew this was going to take place before time began. Okay. "Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, 'I've shown you many great miracles from the Father. And for which of these do you stone me?'" See, Jesus only shared love. He made the lame walk, the blind to see. It was Jesus that was going to reach right to the depth of the grasp of hell itself and to pull one of his creation out of the hands of death. "We are not stoning you for any of these," replied the Jews. You know, this group just wasn't that smart. I'm sorry. They may have been well educated, but they just wasn't smart. You're messing with an individual right in front of you that raised the dead. I mean, even an old Marine is smart enough not to be dumb enough to try that one. "Now, we are not stoning you for any of these," replied the Jews, "but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." Well, at the beginning, Jesus said, "I'm not a mere man. I have come, and I will say nothing that the Father has not given me to say, and I am here for this purpose, and the purpose is I want to tell you how much I love you, and I'm going to show you how much I love you, and I'm going to tell you and show you as you watch me die for your sins. No man has the power to take my life, Jesus, down on my own." A lot of those Roman soldiers, more than one, I guarantee you, was shook up and hoping that he didn't get that mad at them. Think of that. Claim number six, Jesus confirmed to others that he was God. You know, at the point, you remember when Jesus refused to answer? You remember the point he was asked, and you would see it in his ministry. I'll answer your question if you answer mine first. And that was on John the Baptist. Who do you say he was or is? And they realized they had just got outwitted. So therefore, Jesus, knowing what was happening with him, but he kept giving them the opportunity, those very ones who were beating him and all, he kept giving them the opportunity to change and to accept his love. But they had so much bitterness and hatred because they saw in this man something they didn't know, didn't understand. That something was God. You see, what Jesus looked like in the flesh is what God looks like in the flesh. Because God himself is spirit and must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. So God, in order to express to the human race how much he loves, he came himself with skin on him. And with that skin, he came to conquer all temptations, all hurt, all pain. And the very last thing that he conquered, if you will remember, was the grave, death itself. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Not there. Matthew 26, verse 63 and 64. This is Jesus confirmed to others that he was God. But Jesus remained silent. This is, again, back to what I read you from Mark, only in Matthew. The high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God. Yeah, like he really had a lot of power on that one, didn't he? Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus did not hem-haw around, folks. Because you see, before, he would not let them trick him into anything because he said, my time has not yet come. And you're not going to usher in anything that is not of the timing of God. Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. But I said to all of you, in the future, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Well, there's Daniel's prophecy again, is it not? Claim number 7. Jesus said he was sinless. Remember, the Hebrews, the Jews, had to have the Messiah that was sinless. But they looked at Jesus. Now, you know, he would have been all right with them had he went to their seminary and had he been a part of their group and had he, Jesus, coming, would have given acknowledgement to the religious leaders of the day of, yes, you know, I'm of this club, therefore I raise the dead, therefore the lame walk blind, so therefore I want you to lift all of these men in high esteem. Jesus didn't do that with them. So therefore, John 8:46, can any of you prove me guilty of sin? Ha! Now think of that. Wasn't that foolish of them again? You're going to go claim that this Christ, this individual, as they saw as a human being, you're going to claim that this guy who raised the dead, made, you know, did all of this, now you're going to bump heads with him that he was a sinner? Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, then why don't you believe me? They had no proof. Remember, even to take him before Pilate and all of the trials, even Pilate saw they were all lying. And he didn't want any part of it. But his great sin was he took part in it for fear of the people and not fear of God. Claim number 8, Jesus forgave sin. Mark 2:5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son, Your sins are forgiven. Well, the Pharisees just went nuts on this one. They're doing backflips the whole bit. Because Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Remember that statement from him? You're a mere man. How dare you? Only God can forgive sin. And Jesus going, boys, I told you. Okay, which miracle did you not believe? You were there. You saw what happened. Have I not told you through the Father that I would not say anything that he did not give me to say? But I will answer your question. Jesus let him know. Yes, I am God, and I do have the power to forgive sin. But it was from the individuals, folks, that accepted him for who he says he is and who he told them he was. Now, that's a time in our life to where you praise God that you're not so humanly brilliant as you think, to the point, well, I don't need a God. You're right, you don't need a God, you need the God. And the God is Jesus Christ. Claim number 9. See, I need to teach this instead of preach it. I just get carried away. Claim number 9. Jesus taught people to pray to him as God. So when we're talking in our prayer time, we say, Heavenly Father. You know, for we're talking to God, but what are we saying? We're saying that Jesus is God. People say, well, you need to pray through Jesus. Well, you do. But Jesus is God. So there's only one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is one. So Jesus, by what he gave us, a direct path straight to him as God. And you and I then in prayer, we're admitting through all the heavenly host and those around us that we believe Jesus is exactly who he says he was. The Son of God. John 14, verses 13 and 14. And I will do whatever you ask in my name. He's telling his disciples, boys, listen. If you will pray, and you will pray to my Father in heaven, and you will pray recognizing me, and you hear us doing that all the time, in the name of Jesus I pray. Again, people don't have trouble with prayer in the secular realm. They just command you and demand. And when you get through with the prayer, just don't use the name of Jesus. Well, you just don't need to get you somebody else to pray. If you're going to tell me that I don't use the name of Jesus, what's the sense in praying if they don't know Jesus? Praying. Yes, he did. And I will do whatever you ask in my name. Meaning, I do believe God is Jesus, okay? So that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it. Ah, why do we hurt so bad, Lord? I don't know. How long has it been since you talked to me about it? Oh, that's right. Can't you, Heavenly Host, now? Yeah, you know, Larry Pete, it would be wise for you to go ahead and pray. Until you get to the point to where you say, all that's left is prayer. It's all there was to begin with. Claim number 10. Jesus promised to judge all people as God. Now, John 5, 22 and 24. Moreover, the Father judges no one. You got that? No one. But has entrusted all judgment to the Son. You know, don't you think it'd be wise to know the judge personally? And when you come before the judge that you know personally as Lord and Savior, that's the judge you want to be standing before, my friends. All judgment to the Son. That all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Jesus never said there were more than one God. He always said there is one God. And our God relates to us in three forms. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Do you remember after Jesus went to the cross after that on Pentecost? That's when it was His Spirit. He said, I'm going to send you my Comforter. His Comforter was Him, but in a spiritual form. At no point was there ever a teaching of three separate gods, which a lot of people try to say that's what we Christians believe. Well, if you're not a Christian, how in the world do you know what we believe? Now, folks, but you and I, as being Christians, we must understand something. I'm left on earth, and you're left on earth for one purpose. As a Christian, that is to bring the lost to Jesus. That is to keep the gospel first and foremost. Because you see, the whole Bible, the whole Word of God is focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ you will read in the four gospels. You will read in the book of Revelation. That is the gospel that you and I are to preach. Whosoever will, let them come. We are not to make up sermons just to make people feel good. We are to preach and proclaim the Word of God so that people will understand that they will never die. Not only that, the Lord says, I love you so much. You see, He's told His disciples this. You all were blessed to get to be with me, to watch me raise the dead and do all of this. But how much more blessed are those that are coming, the church age, that's what He was establishing, that believe in me and yet they've never seen me. Well, you see, the disciples were really blessed. Talk to Peter about it later on. You know, Peter who had cursed, Peter who had denied Christ. Here, what's Peter doing? He's preaching the gospel. And Peter, is, you know, Peter did pretty good at walking on water. He took one step more than you and I can take walking on water, didn't he? So it was all on keeping an eye on Jesus. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life. Now listen, and will not be condemned. He has crossed, past tense, already happened, over from death to life. Okay, the body's got to die. Why? Because the body is sinful. You and I were not in the Garden of Eden to start this mess. Therefore, God says, I am the ultimate judge. I am the righteous judge. Therefore, as a righteous judge, I will not judge you for what your ancestors have done, for what started sin. But you cannot come in my presence now in the human body and look at me and live. Therefore, in order for you to be with me, you have to shed the avatar. You have to shed the body and come in my presence pure as light. Sounds sort of like spirit, doesn't it? Gosh, He's already crossed over from death to life. I get to skip it. You all do too. You know, everybody's sitting there crying, oh, you know, Larry's dead except for Kidder. And, you know, I said, Larry's gone. He's sick. And Larry's just liable, as I've told you before. I just might, to encourage him, just raise up and just slap a thought up. Don't be telling that. Claim number 11. Jesus said that He was the only way to heaven and is. And I'll make this real short for you. But here is what they tried to nail Billy Graham with. When Billy Graham had made a statement about the Muslims and the others who did not know the name of Jesus. And his statement was, it was never that there was another way other than Jesus. What he said was, you and I as human beings do not understand the love of Christ. Would the love of Christ actually allow these people to be born and then not to give them the light of Christ to where they could hear? But how many do you see that's in the Islamic faith or all in these other nations? You know, they're raised in it. But what he was saying was that it's in the hands of God, and it will be Christ that will convict them, and they won't even know his name. It will always be Jesus. You have to know Jesus, but you may not know his name. And so the Lord said, once again, when you stand before me, you will stand without excuse, because I will have revealed myself to you. Therefore, whoever these religions are of these people, you will stand before me, because you remember that day you did not know the name. Do we remember a Hebrew nation that did not know the name of God? Yahweh, the God with no name. Do you remember all of that? Yet they believed in a God, as their critics would say, but they believe in a God with no name. Now, what kind of God can that be without a name? Asher has named all of the gods. I mean, Baal, you know, he has pointed out all these gods. Well, they did, but there's only one God. And so the Lord said, I will touch their life. That's why you and I don't have the right on the judgment. Now, the Bible says, judge not, lest ye be judged. That has nothing to do with when you see something that is wrong, that you don't see it and judge it as being wrong. That does not do that. Before you jump on somebody or judge somebody, remember, the judgment that you lay on them is exactly the way you're going to be judged. Therefore, we need to be careful with our judgment on people as to whether they're going to heaven or hell. Watch out, folks. Don't you think that maybe Paul or Saul, at one point, everybody would have said, that man is going to burn in hell. Well, they had to wait until 14 or 16 books of the Bible he was responsible for. You see, he got saved. Is that not what we're to be about, is salvation? How can I lead someone to, if I'm not in their presence and God says, I want you to teach this, I want you to preach this? Now, I know that Jesus is the only way, and you and I as Christians, we know that we live because of his blood, and we will never die because of that. But people that don't know him don't know that. So we stand and we continue to proclaim the love of Christ. Well, don't you think that that's going to bring a lot of hardship and heartaches? Yeah, but it's going to feel good. Because no matter how bad that it gets, you're still going to see Jesus. And before that body hits the floor, you're going to be with him. That's a promise he made. John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But then they would say of this man of God that I have great respect for, he says there's another way other than Jesus. No, he never said that at all. He said that we're not even close to being wise enough to know the extent of Jesus' salvation. Think of the books deal about all the books were written about every miracle Jesus performed. The earth couldn't hold the books. And you think of that one and think about the ultimate of love. Claim number 12. This is the last one. Jesus claimed authority over all people. Huh. All people. See, God is still the God of all people. It's the people that don't accept him, not God, that refuses to accept us. Matthew 28:18. Then Jesus came to them and said, this is after the resurrection, folks, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Remember, in the earlier period, Jesus always said that authority was given to me on earth. After he paid, after he completed his ministry, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth now has been given to me. I think it would be quite wise to know Jesus and to accept him.